black mold. That's just a feature wall.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95BFM.
Oh, good morning, Celine. How are you?
Morena, I'm all right. We're getting there.
When are you on holiday? When do you wrap up for the year?
When do I wrap up? Probably not until I finish my PhD in 2023. Fingers crossed. But I will take some days off soon and I will try and go for a swim today, I think, because the weather is good for once.
Yeah, we've really got to embrace this weather while it lasts. Who knows how long it'll last for. But we're not here to talk about the weather and holidays. We're here to talk about renting rights. And we've had people text in over the last fortnight some questions, as you always do. Also, over the break, even though BFM Breakfast won't be here, you can still text in these renting questions because we will be back in the new year helping you all out again. But let's crack into these ones that have come through recently. This person says, my landlord lives downstairs and keeps sending me passive-aggressive texts about the noise of my shoes and telling me not to wear them inside. I don't wear shoes inside, though, because in my opinion, that is gross, and I do make an effort to not create too much noise. I feel like the constant texts are crossing a boundary. They're often late at night. Do you have any advice on how to assert this boundary between me and my landlord again?
I'm sorry, that sounds so horrible.
It would be very stressful having your landlord live right next to you.
And commenting on your shoes and your clumping. Yeah, I think, first of all, maybe I think it's a good reminder that sometimes when you're looking at a property, if you feel that there may be a landlord living in close proximity, sometimes that's just too stressful.
Yeah.
So what I would say for that is it's a difficult one, and other people may have experienced similar things before, but I would say, kind of going back to one of the rights that's kind of in terms of being a tenant, you have a right to quiet enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So if this is infringing on that, which it clearly is in a range of ways, I would argue, that's something that you can kind of complain about. You could use a notice to remedy, one of those like 14-day things, to say, I can't have you texting me in the middle of the night.
Because
there's also, it's a little bit difficult because there's rules around how the notice they have to give before they come into the house or get access. And this is kind of different because you're getting like a constant texting. So it's kind of a blurry area, but they're commenting on your behaviours. So I would see if anyone else has gone through a similar thing and what approach they used, because if you want to live there long term too, you probably want to broach it more carefully.
Yeah,
but I think this is like one of those things that's really more kind of a social thing, that you don't really have great strong black and white answers of what to do, but I just, it doesn't seem appropriate. It's whether you want to go about that in a kind of more have a chat to them about it, or you feel like you need to really draw a more official line in the sand.
Yeah. All right, well, this person says, I want to sublet my room over the summer, but my flatmates have asked me not to as they don't want a new person in the house. Part of me understands, but also I can't really afford to be paying rent and would rather be spending that money elsewhere on my holiday. I want to keep it nice, but what are my rights here? Do I have any? Are they allowed to ban me from subletting?
Okay, this is tricky. They're all tricky. They always are.
It is tricky because we don't have proper laws that protect renters.
No.
So, of course, it's tricky.
And they're hard for everyone to understand. And also, full disclosure, I don't understand them either. I'm just trying to kind of grapple with them. So, for subletting, your landlord isn't supposed to kind of get in the way of you subletting if it makes sense, but you're meant to get kind of formal... their formal approval, and that usually happens when you would maybe be leaving early and you sublet for 3 months or so, the whole property maybe more likely. And that could happen where when you're subletting, you're still on that lease, so you're still kind of the responsible party, which is the difficulty. It happens, I know it happens commonly in New Zealand where we'll kind of sublet one room, someone goes to
Berlin. I mean, I've definitely done that.
Totally. So that is often kind of not official, I would say. So the landlord may not know about that, and that may not be totally legit. So it's kind of one of those things that your flatmates are... it's really about your relationship with them.
Yeah.
If your tenancy agreement doesn't explicitly... it may explicitly state no sublets, and then you're definitely in more trouble if you're trying to do something like that. But in this situation, I would say it's difficult because... you may have a flatmate agreement. So it's really more about the dispute between flatmates, because if something happens to the house or because of the person you've allowed to sublet, you're kind of all in the gun on the... So I would... It's really something you need to think about in terms of your long-term being there and your relationship with those flatmates, but you kind of... In a way, I don't understand completely, but I don't think you can put your foot down and be like, I have a right to do this, because I think it's kind of a grey area already.
True.
So you're kind of in a tricky spot, and you really want those flatmates to co-sign this decision, I would say.
Yeah. And also, this is, I guess, a good reminder as well. Definitely in my experience flatting, it is good to have a flatmate agreement.
Yeah.
One time my friend was trying to sort one out and she was like, oh, is this too intense? And I was like, no, it's a good thing to do.
Absolutely. And it's really encouraged. I think we don't really understand that idea that unless you're signed on the lease, you're not responsible. So we, I guess culturally in New Zealand, we think about it quite casually.
Mm.
And then it's often the most important thing to have, especially if you're flatting with friends maybe, because you don't want things to get difficult. And if you've got the rules and responsibilities written down, you've got kind of a clearer thing to be operating around.
Yeah, and everyone's on the same page.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, we have one last question from this person that says, hey, Celine, my apartment gets unbearably hot over the summer, and because it's an old building, my property manager isn't required to put in a heat pump or aircon. Do you think I could ask them to buy a little air conditioning unit, or is that pushing my luck?
I'm sure this will be a question on everyone's minds as the humidity starts coming back.
Yeah.
Again... I think that the best way to go about stuff like this is to kind of make it to their benefit as well. So surely if that house is incredibly hot and like damp and steamy inside, that's not great for their investment.
No, and that's a good way to frame
it. Let alone the humans living in it, but it's not good. It's not good for their investment. So I think we've kind of tried similar things with the dehumidifier in terms of how damp the property is. So if you can find a way to frame it where it seems mutually beneficial, and because a lot of this stuff is about the tenant's responsibilities and the landlord's responsibilities. So if you can find a way to be like, we're trying to keep a flow coming through to like keep it ventilated and da 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 to avoid these things, and we need this to help with that.
Yeah.
If you make it about the kind of ongoing value of the property, you might be able to argue for that.
Oh, you've got to play the game sometimes. You've
got to play the game when you don't have rights.
God. Someone texted in response to the very first question about someone who has their landlord living downstairs texting them all the time about keeping your shoes off in the house, which they are already doing. They say, block the landlord's number.
Ooh,
would you recommend that, Celine? Can you do that? Are you allowed to do that with someone who you're sort of meant to be reporting to?
Yeah, it's a nice idea. I love the thought, but I do worry about it. I think often, again, this idea of your responsibility as a tenant is very much like you tell the landlord as soon as something happens.
Yes.
It's about reporting to someone. So maybe short-term fun, but long-term might not be a good relationship.
Yes. And also if they are living beneath you.
Exactly.
Just come knock on your window.
You could kind of try and informally just like not reply at certain times and try and enforce some more barriers. But I would say if they're already doing that, they're probably not going to respond to those cues.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Well, thank you very much to everybody texting in those questions. And I'm sorry, and I understand. It is quite hard to be a renter in the current climate.
It is indeed.
But we have Celine to help us out every fortnight. And Celine will be back next year in 2023. Thanks so much for all of the work you've done over this year and last year as well.
No problem at all. I hope no one has any questions next year and it's all solved.
Yeah, 2023. It'll be fine.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.